April 4th, 2024. We're in Masechet Bava Kama, Daf Kaf Gimal Amud Aleph. This morning's class is dedicated in loving memory of Nathan and Elvira Katan, Natan ben Sarah and Elvira Batzarifa, by their daughter Shirley Katan and their grandchildren. If you recall, we just finished the larger sugyav, Isho Mishum Amono, Isho Mishum Chitzav, when we're dealing with the characterization, the determination of what is fire in terms of nezik, in terms of damages which are caused. We saw it's a mahlok between Reish Lakish and Bi Yochanan. Is it, so to speak, an extension of a person, or is it your property? And ultimately speaking, the surprise from yesterday was that Rabbi Yochanan as well admits to the fact that although there is a function of yourself in the fire, it's also your property. Where did we see that in the Gemara? Well, the Gemara, ultimately speaking, was talking about this situation, the specific, not so significant, but the situation was that a person sets their fire in their own yard, and there's a wall, a gate, which is going to block it, and ultimately speaking, the gate falls. Is a person exempt in such a circumstance? The suggestion is, according to the Bi Yochanan, he should be. Kalulo hitzav is the words of the Gemara. His arrow is closed. His arrow is finished. When he shoots his arrow, it's not shooting an arrow at all. The fact that the wall falls down afterwards is not on him, provided that it wasn't his fire, so to speak, his arrow which made it fall down. But the Gemara then told us that Rabbi Yochanan as well agrees that Isho Mishum Amono. It's not that he disagrees entirely with Reish Lakish, it's that he's Mahmir on Reish Lakish. He says it's also Mishum Hitzav. And therefore, in such a circumstance where you lit your fire and there's a wall, a gate which is going to block it, and the gate falls down, same way if your animal is breaking out of the room, you didn't lock it appropriately or whatever, you need to safeguard the animal. Which means to say everyone, even Rabbi Yochanan, would agree that in such a circumstance where that fire's on its way, put differently, the arrow's on its way, about to be blocked by a wall, if the wall falls down, you might not be liable to pay as Adam HaMazik, it's not your arrow was broken, but you are obligated to pay again as Mamonoshi Hizik, it's like your animal fire damaged. The difficulty, and I'm just going to raise the difficulty without having a full conversation, maybe we'll talk more about it on Daf Kaftet, where this issue to a certain extent arises again, is that the Gemara, which we learned maybe 2 years ago, maybe a little bit less, in Masechet Sanhedrin, seems to state almost opposite of this concept in our Gemara. Just reading two, three lines over here. Ve'amar Rava, the Gemara states on Daf Ayin Zayin Amud Bet in Sanhedrin, Ve'amar Rava, Rava had the following statement. Zarak Het, if a person shoots, it says throws, shoots a arrow. Utiris biado. Tiris means there's a shield. There's a shield blocking it. Uba aher v'netalo. Another person, as the arrow's in the air, comes and removes it. Sanhedrin Ayin Zayin Amud Bet. Va'afilu hukadam netalo. Even if you run ahead, I don't know, you shot it up in the air, you're super speedy, you run ahead and you grab away that shield which is blocking the damage or the death which is going to take place as a result, patur, you're exempt. De be'idna de shadye, at the moment, idnam, the time, de shadye, that you shot, that you threw that arrow, mifsak piske gire. His gire, his arrow, is mifsak pasik. It's broken. It's blunted. That's the conclusion. There's no debating that. But wait a second. According to Reish Lakish, that's certainly not true. Even according to Rabbi Yochanan, we say, Isho Mishum Mamono, you should be Hayav. So it's true. Maybe you won't be liable for death penalty if you killed a person in such a circumstance. Lo Aleinu, you shot it at them. There was the shield there and you ran ahead. So it wasn't my action directly in my hands which did it. But it was my animal which did it. It was the extension of me which is not me entirely. How could the Gemara so easily accept this on the one hand, the statement of Rava, and a concept in our sugya which tells us, even if kalulo hitzav, even if your arrows are broken, nonetheless, as property owners, so to speak, you're liable. That's the difficulty. What's that? Does that matter?
What happened? The other one happened naturally, you know, earthquake. Maybe this is a little more
worse, Nathan. I ran ahead myself and grabbed the shield and moved it away. Worse, Jared Feldman. I did it.
Down the wall, you had it, the gate protected.
Correct. 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 That Gemara says, I started the fire, just put it in our terminology, I run ahead. I knock down the wall, not my fire, I knock down the wall, I won't be liable, even Mishum Mamono Shehizik. That's against our Gemara.
You saw him, he saw you, he has the obligation to get out of the way from his
He can't. I don't know, he's... putting it at the Gemara doesn't say because he could have moved, because he was pushed out. Not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says because you didn't shoot him.
But how could it be that you're going to push down the shield? You shoot the arrow up, you're going to push down the shield, and you're not going to be fired.
That's what it says.
Must be there's something on him.
That's what it says. It's not the understanding. It's in the context of Gerama, it's indirect, and so forth.
Why is it not controllable? Why are we not just saying that? Everything else is controllable to some extent. Fire.
That's what we were saying yesterday, by the way. It's not
really Mammon.
You can't control the arrow.
Listen.
Fire is a non-controllable Mammon, and an arrow has an endpoint. So it's fire.
No,
fire can't has to be
a wall that's fire.
Okay, so one second. So let's...
It can be contained.
Okay.
But it's still... If you try to kill the fire, it's burning. If I have a dead arrow, stop from the thing, it can't hurt.
Fire will literally...
Our Gemara, you're all making nice chilukim in potential. Our Gemara is saying fire, according to the Yochanan, is like arrows. Fire, according to the Reish Lakish, is like animals.
I understand, but I like Jeffrey's point. You said yesterday that fire, although you would consider it money, it is your possession. It has this special feature that it's...
makes it harder.
Makes it harder.
I think it's time for an archery...
Yeah. Okay, that's the difficulty. As I said, this is that we didn't discover America with this question. This is discussed widely. If you want a good read on this, if you're a rabbinic reader, is in Kehilot Yaakov, that's the Stipler Gaon, the father of Rav Chaim Kanievsky. In Siman Bet, he goes through this issue systematically on this Gemara, on a Gemara later on, Daf Kaftet and others. The beginning of this, just to mention, is that you have to initially, he argues, as debate amongst the Aharonim, his initial stage is you have to argue that that Gemara, although it doesn't say so, the arrow is not yours. That's the initial stage. That's his only way of getting out of that. He says, our Gemara, if you say Yishom Mishum Mamono, if it's because of your property, don't forget that was the major distinguishing feature. If it doesn't belong to me, I won't be liable. So let's start that sugya, even though it doesn't say so, the arrow is not yours. It's still difficult, but I'm setting forth something which is damaging. Okay, longer, important conversation, but I thought important to raise from now. Let's go back to our Gemara here on Daf Kaf Gimel Amud Aleph, some lines from the bottom, maybe 9 lines from the bottom, where the Gemara says, Al HaHarara Mishalem Vechule. That's bringing us back to our Mishnah, and if you recall, the Mishnah told us that if the Kelev, if the dog, grabs that biscuit, the biscuit has on it a coal, and brings it, our assumption, we'll read about this in a bit, to the field of another, eats it over there, he's liable for eating the biscuit, 100% liable for the field, half. The placement of the biscuit, yes, 100%. The extension of it, serorot, mishuneh, is going to be liable half. Says the Gemara, man hayav. Again, we began this yesterday. Who's liable in this circumstance for the eating of the biscuit? Baal hakedev. Of course, it's the owner of the dog who's liable for not safeguarding, not protecting his dog appropriately, and in turn, the dog ate from this. That's my liability, questions the Gemara. Vele hayev name baal gahelet. Why don't we say that he splits the 100% damage in terms of what he did in eating from this harara with the owner of the harara, of the biscuit. The biscuit owner clearly didn't protect his biscuit properly. He must have left it open. That's how my dog got to it. Must have found it on an open barbecue, open grill. That's not fully my fault. You're right, I should be watching over my animal, but if you didn't leave your biscuit out, he wouldn't have found the biscuit to eat. Says the Gemara, kesheshibisheshimer gahalto. The case must be where the owner of the biscuit and the owner of that gahelet, of the coal, he watched over the coal, and he did safeguard. And as a result, the liability of the dog owner is... protected. For the next line. Well said. Well said, Eli. Eli says that we should already say Bishishime means it's inside. It'll help us for the coming line, or at the very least it's behind closed doors. Nice.
This case of the owner of the dog, of the coal.
Same thing. We're talking about... Could be. Okay. The owner of the biscuit and coal, to provide it that I'm talking about the burning, the coal, about the biscuit, the biscuit.
I'm in my backyard and it's gated. Why do you have to be inside a house?
So, again, Eli said, inside. I said, behind closed doors. You don't even need to say those if you preempt the next line where we're going to talk about digging underneath. So the assumption is we're talking about it was surrounded by walls. You're right. It could be something else. It could be I have a security system.
If you have a pool, it has to have a fence around it. Same.
Sufficient, provided that this is determined, however it's determined, to be a safeguard against dogs, that's it. That's all.
Why is the dog on my property?
Yeah, what do you mean? Like, if I left my door open, or if I left my gate open, the dog will come in?
Yes. Okay, I mean, I don't think it should, but
yeah,
it
the
can.
Liability is on me?
If liability is not 100%. Liability is not 100% on you, but the liability should be, again, partially on you. We're right now imagining and understanding, it takes someone's gachelet and then burn someone's field. The owner of the gachelet, whether it's your field and gachelet, or it's someone else's gachelet and it brings it to your field, in the scheme of things, the gachelet, the coal owner, should be liable for partial damage as well. I didn't do this entirely through my dog. The fact that my dog went through your open gate to your backyard, to your open grill and took it, that's partially on you.
I got it, but for the biscuit, it's my biscuit,
you left your biscuit in the front yard without any gates, etc. So in such a circumstance,
is the dog allowed to come out to my dog? Are you responsible to watch your dog? Or
if you put the biscuit in the
open, are you responsible to protect his land?
You have no protection on your land.
If
you have no protection on your land, how can you make me entirely liable? Because it doesn't belong over there?
Because the dog really can't belong onto my property. I really need what's on the sidewalk.
What if it ate it on the land? Did it move it?
Okay, so let's focus, as the Gemara does, only on the burning of the field and on the gahelet. So again, says the Gemara, man hayav, who's the one who's obligated? Ba'al kelev, the owner of the dog. Vele hayev name ba'al gahelet. Why isn't the owner of the coal as well a part of this? Bishishimer gahalto, cases that the gahelet, the coal, was protected. It was in some way. Give it a little bit. Give it a little bit of time. In other words, I got you. We addressed it already. We'll address it again. We'll address it again. Someone else's. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Important. Give it a little bit of time.
Is there a different responsibility if the person that you took it from is Jewish or not Jewish?
In what respect?
In respect that they say sometimes if someone makes a mistake and you get it and they're a goy, you don't have to return it, but.
I understand, but if I took it from the goy who didn't safeguard it properly, I'm not going to be off the hook. He's not going to be off the hook.
Biscuit from a goy versus a Jew, is there any difference?
Maybe. Give it a little bit of time. But at this point, we're talking about, leave the biscuit out. We're talking about the coal, which was even the non-Jews, which my dog took and burnt a Jewish person's land. So in such a circumstance, says the Gemara again, so there was a shemirah of the gahelet. If that's the case, if that's the case, how was it, what is the dog doing there? In other words, if there were gates, and we determined that these gates or this protection system was sufficient to safeguard the coal, so then what's the dog doing in there? The dog shouldn't be in there. If the dog shouldn't be in there, the dog being in there is mishune, it's different, it's not normal. Shouldn't have any full liabilities in this respect. We should say this is just altogether different. Answers to the Gemara, Beshehatar. The case must be that the dog tunneled its way in. It tunneled its way in, even though it was properly behind closed doors. The dog makes its way in. Well, the dog makes its way in. That's still abnormal. Says the Gemara, Amarav Mare Bere Derav Kahana Zoto Meret Setam Delatot Haturoten etzel kelev. It comes to teach us the following, that we can and should assume, according to legal determinations in halakha, that even when there's a door closed with regards to a dog will tunnel underneath. So, that being the case, AB left us off yesterday with the question of Tosafot. If that's the case, so let me just get my bearings over here. That means that the owner of the coal did his due diligence in closing the doors. The owner of the dog is still not going to pay half of the liability. Let's say half of half if this is sirorot, a quarter. No, he's going to pay the full half. Why is he going to pay the full amount? He's going to pay the full amount because it makes sense that the dog would tunnel under. If it makes sense that the dog would tunnel under, then the owner of the coal did not safeguard it properly. What does he need to do? I don't know. Build the walls into the ground. Make sure he puts something into the ground underneath. If we're saying that it is normal to the extent that we will not consider the dog's action in this circumstance as mishuneh to make it half of what his liability would be, then clearly the owner of the gachet, you can't have it both ways, is the question of AB of Tosafot. Tosafot answers in this Tosafot, Dibura Mathil Beshishimir, just a few words at the end. It says, V'yesh lamar kevan denatar kedenatre inshe la'atrehuhu rabbanan tefe. Since he was natar in Aramaic means he protected, since he protected the coal, the way people protect their coals, the rabbis didn't obligate him more. What does that mean? What it seems to mean is the following to me, in my mind. It means the following. Again, they don't
know.
No, it means the following. It means, that's right. It means that as the owner of the coal, I'm supposed to do my part, and I can, listen to this, assume that you as the owner of the dog will do your part. Again, I have to do my part, and I assume you're going to do minimal protection. Minimal protection of the dog, it's not tunneling underneath,
yeah.
Right? So as a result, I don't need to build the things into the ground. I only need to build the things into the ground if I assume that you've let your dog out so much that you're not even looking after your dog at all. So I need to do the normal protection. It's true, dogs will, when completely unprotected, tunnel underneath. That's not my responsibility as the coal owner. There's an in-between over here. That's beyond normal protection. So, okay, that's that. Tosafot is another question. It brings us back to an earlier sugya. You might be familiar and remember this one. Remember the concept of tahilato b'pshi'a v'sofo be'onus? Remember this one? If my initial stage, I was not doing appropriate protection, I was what's called poshe'a, I was negligent, but even though, ultimately speaking, what happened was out of my control, under such circumstances, what's my liability? Well, it's a mahloket. Take a look at this Tosafot, Stam Delatot Haturotin. Says Tosafot Tema. Dilma mishum dehavet tchilato bepshi'a v'sofo be'ones. Tchilato bepshi'a mishum peticha. It says Tosafot, wait a second. Mishum peticha. It says Tosafot, wait a second. The owner of the dog, we are now suggesting the only reason the owner of the dog is liable is because we assume and know that dogs will tunnel under doors. Wait a second, maybe they don't. Maybe that was a bad deduction in the Gemara. Well, wait a second, then why are you paying 100%? I'll tell you why I'm paying 100%. Because my initial action with regards to this dog was negligent. Why was it negligent? I let it run loose. As a result of it running loose, it might walk into open doors. No, but we're not talking about kid, and we're talking about shin. It's eating, or it's regel, it's burning. But what I'm saying is that kid mu'ad is when it's doing a different business. That's when it's goring or something of that sort. But so the question of Tosafot fundamentally is you didn't need to come onto such a novel thing, which seems, if you ask me, a little bit far-fetched. It's a little far-fetched. Gemara will stick with it. The dogs we have to assume will tunnel under doors. I have a much more simple way of explaining this, Gemara says Tosafot. You were poshea, you let your dog run loose. Your dog running loose means it's going to walk into open doors. That's pishia. The fact that there's an onus that it went into the tunnel, I'm still liable. We happen to be posek. Tahilato b'pshia, if your initial action is negligent, even though, lucky you, it ended off, it wasn't with an act of negligence. Mahloket, says Tosafot, we go hayav, and as a result, why doesn't the Gemara entertain that over here? V'yesh lomar, they return us to a principle we had earlier, di imken lamehayev b'hatira ki imravia. Ki hechi dahava mitchayev b'pticha shaya ba'al gachelet mitchayev mechatza. Suggests Tosafot, and this is more than anything, this can sharpen your mind, this Tosafot. Tosafot says, it goes like this, if I'm going to make you liable to pay because of tahilato b'pshi'a, your initial stage was negligence, your final stage was honest, but you're still obligated, I can't make you pay 100%. Well, one second. Why can't you pay 100%? Because when let's say I don't protect my dog, and let's say my dog enters through an open door and eats or takes the coal from the open door, you come and you make me liable for my damage. What do I say in such a circumstance? I said, it's your house. You should have locked your door. You should have had doors closed. And as a result, we're going to split it. I'll pay half and you'll pay half. That's clear. If we had a pishia situation where I was negligent and it could have gone through an open door, I was never paying the full amount. I was never paying the full amount that I was ultimately speaking going to be liable, or there is liability for. I was going to deflect that onto the owner of the gahelet. Over here, in the scheme of things, well, he did build walls. My dog did go under. He's not liable. You're going to make me pay the full amount? I mean, the full amount happens to be over here half. They're not going to make me pay half. If the whole reason that I'm obligated is because my initial action opened the doors, no pun intended, for the dog to cause this damage, which only would have been half of the damage, it means in the end you can't make me pay more than that. Therefore, our Gemara comes on to this concept of stam delatot haturoten bifne delet. We can assume and should assume that the dog is going to tunnel in. Okay, but that being the case, back in our Gemara, says the Gemara, Amarav mare bere derav kana, five lines from the bottom, zoto mere tzetam delatot haturoten etzel kelev. Okay, onward, says the Gemara, de achila hecha. Where did the dog eat this harara? Where was it consuming the biscuit? Ilema, maybe you'll tell me, de achila begadish de alma. Okay, this was whose question from earlier? Maybe it ate the biscuit in gadish de alma. Stomach place and some far, I don't know, it took the biscuit and it ate it somewhere. Says the Gemara, it can't be. Haba'inan, don't we need? It needs to be that the destruction of shin is done on the property of the person who got the shin damage to them, right? In such a circumstance, I'm not going to pay for the harara. It needs to be on the property of the nizak, of the person who got damaged. Open and shut over here in the Gemara, yes? So again, wow. Stage one is...
He's
not liable for shin.
No, not liable for shin.
Shin is that it happened.
What's the logic?
It's only that it ate it on the property of the damaged person. What's that?
In other words, the staff head could be that it's only attached.
I understand counter logics. So I'm just reading at this point this line. I can't say that I won't turn back to things.
The stack that got burned was the biscuit owner's
field. I'm not on the stack yet. The field, yes. So in other words, the Gemara suggests that he took the biscuit and ate it at the stack owner of the biscuit.
What's the logic then?
The pasuk in the Torah at this point gezerat hakatuv. At this point gezerat hakatuv might end that way. The gezerat hakatuv means the Torah tells me that. So you want a little bit of a logic? We could do a little bit of logic. No, I'm leaving a little bit of logic.
I thought you said that it's typical for an animal to eat it in a private place. They take the food somewhere where it's not. Can we do that?
Yes, that was if it's in reshut harabim and veers off to the reshut hanizak.
Logical way an animal would eat.
Right.
The animal will take the biscuit, run to a safe place.
But who said it's in the Shuta Nizak? It had to take it from a private area. It took it from a private area.
He went out to the barbecue. He might be running away.
So, why isn't it considered steps that they have by the guy who got damaged?
One more time. It's eating the biscuit, and it needs to be eating the biscuit, which is shin, on the property of the biscuit owner. That's all we're
saying.
Because bisteacher, the understanding is, on the property of the damaged party. Okay, so what do you mean? No, what do you mean? If he takes the biscuit off his property and runs to someone else's property.
Jared's. Eli's barbecue, and burned it.
Michael took the biscuit from Eli's house, who left his door open. The door was open, and ate it.
Because it's in the wrong location. At this point, just because of Sedeh Acher, it's not Veleka. So says the Gemara, if you're going to tell me that it ate it at a stack be'alma or de'alma in general or whatever, someone else is not going to work. La tziricha, the case must be de'achela begadish de'ba'al harara. It must be that it was eaten at the stack of the owner the owner of that biscuit. It's not exactly that. So as the Gemara, if that's the case, we should be able to resolve another matter. And if we're all getting excited already, just wait how excited we're going to get at this one initially. Tifshot, says the Gemara, if that's the case, we can resolve something. What are we going to be able to resolve? Another issue. This issue better be a fantastic one. You're telling me, based on this law, Tifshot, depi para kehaser nizak damer. We can derive from this that the mouth of the cow, of the bull, which is eating, is looked at as the property of the damaged. What does that mean? My dog, my cow, goes onto your property, eats from your property on your property. I walk into Beit Din, I know how to twiddle my fingers and do things like that. I say, oh, one second. It didn't eat on your property. Of course it did. Look, I have video of it. When the food was consumed, where was it? What do you mean? It was on my property. No, think carefully. The food was in the mouth of that animal. That animal is my animal. If someone threw something, for argument's sake, onto that field and it landed on my animal, is it yours or is it mine? It's mine. My animal is my property. The food, when there was shin done to it, was in my animal's mouth, on my property, and as a result, I'm not paying. So the Gemara, yes. So the Gemara therefore says that, you're going too far for me at this moment. The Gemara therefore says that provided that the eating took place on the property of the person who that biscuit belongs to, I'm liable. I maybe would have said if my cow comes onto your property and eats on your property, I'm exempt. The chidush is that I'm hayav. Of course, the question would be, so then when are you ever hayav for shin?
Yeah,
when would you have? That's why I thought everyone was going to kill me. What do you mean? You're never hayav for shin. It means every time an animal eats, I'm exempt. I'll say it's not bistahet. We'll see in a few lines, but I can calm that already from now. There are other ways of being hayav for shin. Do we remember the other ways for being hayav for shin? Anything that the animal does to give itself benefit, if it scratches its back on the wall in your property, it didn't take anything and put it in its mouth. If it rolls on the fruits in your property and ruins them for benefit of itself, I'm liable. But at this point, the Gemara says, I think we can derive from this, based on what we just established, again, we just established that the animal, the dog, is on the property. That's what we said matter-of-factly. We derived this from a pasuk of ubi'ir b'steachir, of the owner of the harara. You see that pipara is kereshuta nizak dameh. D'i. Go ahead.
Pipara kereshuta nizak dameh. So my dog's mouth in your house is like...
Your house. I can't be Talmudic and say
God,
it's mine.
Because we've already learned all this and you told us that.
Wow, well said. Says Alice, come on. You needed this Gemara to teach me this. I've been learning the whole second Pidduch, even the end of the first Pidduch, and every time we learn this, you say to us, the animal goes onto someone's property and it eats over there. You couldn't stop at the Mishnah when you read this the first six times in this Masech and say, oh, you see, by the way, because yeah, I could have twiddled my fingers. Don't twiddle your fingers. All of a sudden, the Gemara picks up on it over here. That's the question of Tosafot. Like, why do you need this? You needed this Mishnah, the dog. We like the dog case. I know. But the dog case with the fire and the guy and the bugs. Why do you need all that? Just give me simple examples. For example, we won't read the full Tosafot right now, but Tosafot here at the bottom of the Kaf Gimel Amud Aleph Tema. It's a wonder. I have a difficulty. That my pashit. Why is it more simple to determine it from here? Mishaad baved matritin. From all the other cases in the Mishnah, all the other literally gates in the Mishnah. Ditnan hashen muedet leechol etara'uila. We learned in the Mishnah, shen, an animal which eats. Well, it's muad. It's 100% liability from the beginning that it eats. You see, we should have stopped over there. See, the mouth of the cow is not like it's my own property, because if it's my own property, I'm never liable for my animal eating. There's a Jeffrey's case where the animal goes to the side of the road and it eats from the side of the road, and you're liable. You're liable. It's his problem. It's my problem. But you should say, of course it's my problem. Or from inside the shop. That's the question of Tosafot. We'll deal with that hopefully tomorrow. But that's the question. Because thank God, A, we've been assuming that eating means eating. And B, we've mentioned this matter-of-factly at least three times already. But let's just finish the line here in the Gemara at the very least for today. So again, the case needs to be, says the Gemara, because of ubi'eh, that it ate on the property of the owner of the biscuit. Tifshot, you can derive from this that the pi para, the mouth of the para, the animal which eats it, is kehaser nizak dame. Di'i kehaser mazik dame. So that's the Gemara, interestingly, because if it's considered my property, again, if my cow is my property, which means that anything that's in its mouth, lema le, I should be able to claim to you. You say, Harari, you owe me for your dog ate 100% of $100 of my goods. I said, my ba'eriftach bepuma de kaldai. I said, what are you talking about? Why were your goods in the mouth of my dog? My goods in the mouth of your dog? That's right. Who gave you? Again, the Gemara says, if you're right. So, in other words, Eli, I'm gonna tease your words. I'm gonna piece them apart a little bit. What Eli Boganim is suggesting is there might be, and you could have argued that there's really two stages over here. And I'm gonna introduce us to Tosafot without getting too much into it, based on Eli's comment. And that is, I'm not gonna take you fully, but I'm gonna take your direction. That is that you might argue that shame is through the initial action. The initial action, the grabbing of the food. Maybe shin means my animal comes to your field and it grabs the food. Provided that it grabbed the food from your field, that's liability. That it then eats it, that's not what you needed. You didn't need that. The fact that it grabbed it from your field is sufficient. So of course. So the question doesn't begin. What about, says Tosafot, the following situation. The food came from your field, not from my animal. The food came from your field, from Hire Shote Vekatan. A person, she'eno ben da'at, takes the food from your field and brings it to my animal, who then eats it. My animal never picked it up from your field. Is my animal in that situation, am I liable? Someone who's not a bar da'at, someone who's cognitively impaired, a child, a developmentally disabled person, etc., a mute and deaf person, the Gemara calls them enom ben da'at. One second, my animal standing on your field, it didn't pick it up. The Hire Shoteh V'Katan puts it into the mouth of my animal. That's how Tosafot learns this whole sugya mikoh hakusha. They say, can't understand. What's that? One more time. Hana'a right away, but my hana'a to my animal only happened not at the moment that it picked it up. It didn't pick it up. Maybe b'haser hanizak means it needs to pick it up. Said Eli, the initial stages. It's true, it now digests it. It's true, it now enjoys it as it's going down. But as it goes down, as it digests it, it's on my property. That's the safek. The safek is... What's that? The animal didn't do anything wrong. It did eat. Because maybe the halakha of shen birshut hanizak means it picked up birshut hanizak. Maybe the halakha of shen birshut hanizak is not so much of the moment where it disappears. Because we look at the beginning of the end as the end. What's that? Where did the hana'a begin? The hana'a begins by tearing it up and putting it in its mouth. But maybe the ma'aseh hanezek was not effectuated through not picking it up, but only consuming it.
Once you grab it from the house,
we'll return to this and address it in Tosafot tomorrow. Baruch Adonai le'olam amen ve'amen. It's hayav.